And our reading for today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. So reflecting on Psalm 139, and I imagine to most, if not all of you, these words will be quite familiar. And it's sometimes those words from Scripture that are most familiar that we can miss. We can miss the significance of them. We can miss what God might be speaking to us about them. So I want to take us back to those first few verses. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. God knows us fully. God knows you fully. Completely everything. Now I wonder, does that bring you comfort or does that make you cringe? Because I think it's probably both. If we're really honest, it's probably both. Comfort or cringe. We want to be known fully. We want to be fully known. If you think about a baby, when it's born, it needs the complete love of its parents. And it's not ashamed of anything it does. You know, if it does something bad in its nappy, it doesn't think, oh dear, that's embarrassing. It's a baby, so it needs changing, so it'll cry until it's changed. And if it's hungry, it doesn't think, oh, well, I better not disturb mum and dad. You know, they look a bit busy. It'll cry until it gets the food, you know, the milk that it needs. There's no hiding. But then as that child gets older, if you imagine that maybe the child becomes a toddler, and the toddler's told that, no, they're not allowed another biscuit from the plate. But then when mum and dad aren't looking, they go and they take another biscuit. And they sneak around the back of the sofa and they eat it. They're starting to hide things. They want to be known fully, but they don't want mummy and daddy to know that. They don't want to be known fully in that sense. And then maybe as they get a bit older, they do a few more things. Maybe they start to hang out with some friends as a teenager, and they do some things that they definitely don't want mum and dad to know about. So there's kind of two things being set up here, aren't there? There's the, yes, I want to be fully known, and I want that reassurance that somebody knows me completely and somebody loves me completely, but at the same time, I don't want them to know about this and this and this. I want those things to be hidden. And of course, we see this played out not just in every human being's life, but in the beginning of all our stories, the very beginning story of Adam and Eve, don't we? In that story, we have Adam and Eve being known fully by God, walking with him in the garden. They don't hide anything. They feel no shame. But then something happens. They disobey God, and suddenly they feel shame. Suddenly they're hiding. God is saying, "Where are you? Why are you hiding from me?" "We were ashamed," they said. "Why are you covering up?" "We were ashamed." That's the human experience, isn't it? We want to be fully known by God, and yet it's a bit uncomfortable to think that he knows everything about us. I wonder, do people know the real you? I would imagine that not everybody knows everything about you. Maybe there's some people who do. But if we're really honest, maybe we don't know ourselves fully. You know, we're complicated beings, aren't we? If you work in therapy or psychology, you suddenly start to discover that we probably don't know ourselves very well. This passage tells us that God knows us fully. And Scripture tells us that God loves us completely as we are. The psalm continues, verse 7. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." This psalm tells us that God is everywhere. God is everywhere. I wonder, does that bring you comfort or does that make you cringe? And again, perhaps it's both. God is everywhere. I remember that when I was growing up as a teenager, when I was at school, I didn't let anybody in my secondary school let anybody know that I was a Christian, apart from the two other people that were in my little youth group. So I was kind of undercover. I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't want it to get out because I thought that, you know, it's embarrassing. And so I started living this life where I was kind of two different people. You know, I was the person that I was at church and in my youth group, and then I was the person I was at school that didn't like to admit that I had this kind of other secret life. And I suppose during that time, I wasn't sure who I really was. Was I the person at school, or was I the person at church and at youth group? And I certainly spent more time at school than I did at youth group, but it didn't feel like me in either of those places. And it wasn't until I was older, until I went to university, and I found a group of people that were very open about their faith and very okay to be Christians and not embarrassed about it, that I thought, oh, this is who I am. I get to be this person all the time. I don't have to hide my faith away and pretend that I'm not something. It's fine for me to be a Christian. And if some people don't like it, that's fine too. I don't need everybody to like me. But I needed to grow up enough to discover that. And I also needed kind of my tribe, you know, my people, to know that I belonged somewhere in a big enough group that made me feel it's okay to be me and to be like this. And it took a while to realize that God was everywhere. That when I was at school and sort of pretending that, you know, I wasn't a Christian and I didn't know God and I didn't go to church, that God was there with me in all of that. Darkness and light. Verse 11, "If I say, surely the darkness will hold me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." This tells us that God can take our worst. In fact, that God is there in the worst times and the most difficult times and the most difficult places. I was at a study day this week at Ripon Cathedral. It was on Wednesday when the wind was blowing a gale, and we could hear it happening outside Ripon Cathedral, and it was kind of shaking around in that big space. And it was Rowan Williams who was leading the study day, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, and it was all about prayer. The subject was prayer. And I don't know if you've ever read any of Rowan's books or seen him speak, but he's a very deep man. He's very deep. He's kind of on a different level to everybody else. And your brain has to work quite hard to keep up with him. And obviously he was talking about the subject of prayer, so it was a very deep subject as well. And after he'd spoken in the afternoon session, I think it was, he gave some time for questions and answers. And one of the things that somebody asked him was about his own prayer life and what he prays for. And he was saying that he particularly prays for countries where there is war. And he says he prays every day for certain countries. He has them kind of on a list. And he spends time praying for those countries. And they're countries that, some of those countries that he visited when he was in his role as Archbishop, and he got to travel around the world and see some really terrible places, some terrible situations. And then the following question that somebody asked was, how do you feel when you pray for those places and they get worse? You know, if you've been praying for that place for 15 years and there's still civil war, or the civil war's got worse, or that, you know, the human rights abuses are worse than they were before, how do you live with that? How do you live with that sense of you're praying but things aren't getting better? In fact, the opposite is happening. And one of the things he said in reflecting on this was that we've no idea what it would be like if we didn't pray. We've no idea how worse the situation would be if we didn't pray. And it's that thing, isn't it, of knowing what's in our control and what's not in our control. There are certain things that we have responsibility for and control over, and there are certain things that we don't. And with all things, we can bring them in prayer. But there's nowhere that God isn't. Maybe we look at the world and we think, and I know certainly I've had conversations with people, and this often comes up in Alpha, is how can there be a God when there's such bad things happening in the world? How can God allow that to happen? Here it says that even the darkness is light to you. We can see a situation and think, well, that is just hopeless. There is no hope there. There is no sense of redemption. There's no way that God can do anything there. But God doesn't see it like that. Even the darkness is as light to him. And of course, God has a different perspective than us. We have this perspective on this level. God has a bigger perspective. He knows the end of the story. He knows that all things will be made well. And that we live through the pain and the suffering of now without the full realization of what's to come. But of course, God is outside of time. And this idea and this hope, of course, is all wrapped up in the person of Jesus. This idea that there is nothing that is beyond redemption, that even death itself cannot hold back the love of God. Darkness is as light to God. He can take your worst. He can meet you in your worst, in your darkest place. I want to finish by reading the final verses that we heard this morning, verses 13 to 18. But before that, I just want to take us back to the first verse, which says, "You have searched me and you know me." In the Message translation, Eugene Peterson writes this as, "Uncover me." "Investigate my life" is the phrase that he uses. "Investigate my life." That can seem like a very scary thing to say to God. "Investigate my life. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." And perhaps our first response is fear when we think that God would investigate our life. But of course, all this is wrapped up in the context of the God who knows you and loves you. Not who knows you and judges you and thinks you're terrible, but the God who knows you and loves you. And it finishes with these words. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you." Let me pray for us. Lord God, we are fully known to you. You know the secrets of our hearts. You know the pain that we carry, the hopes, the joys. We do not need to hide from you. We do not need to be ashamed. For we can come to you with all that we are, and be fully known. Lord, help us to remember that you are everywhere, in all situations, in all places. And Lord, we thank you that darkness is as light to you, that there is no situation or place that is untouched by your love and grace. Lord, may we be fed by this hope, a hope that is alive because of Jesus and his death and resurrection, a hope that is alive because his Holy Spirit is living amongst us and in us.